Baby has a fever, so I assumed that you were anxious to get him home.
A worried mom hits the road.
I heard something hit the back of my car. And I see this car speed up really fast, got right in front of me.
But was her attention elsewhere?
She kept looking in the back, so I didn't know what was going on.
Because that's where the baby was.
As I was passing her, she slammed on her brakes, and I hit her car. She said she didn't want to call the cops.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Agnieszka Jacek is suing fellow motorist Christopher Schuster for a rear-end accident.
Order. All rise.
Case number 516 on the calendar, the matter of Jacek versus Schuster.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat.
All right, Ms. Jacek, it is your claim that the defendant is responsible for an automobile accident. You want him to pay for the bumper of your car. He hit your car in the rear.
Yes.
Mr. Schuster says that despite the fact that he did hit your car in the rear, the accident was your fault. And since I believe that there might be an issue, I'm going to start very, very slowly with this case. Do you understand?
Okay.
On what date did this accident happen?
January 9, 2014.
At what time of day?
Around 5:30.
Where were you going or where were you coming from?
I was going home. I pick up my son from the grandfather's house.
And your son is how old?
He's 2 now.
So he was a little under 2.
He was 20 months.
And he was sick?
Yes, he had a fever.
And he had a fever. Was that the reason you were going to get him from his grandfather's house?
No, I was supposed to pick him up anyway.
Does his grandfather babysit for him?
Sometimes, yes.
Where were you that day?
I was at the store doing grocery shopping.
What
when he called me that he had a fever, I went and picked him up.
Well, then let's go back slowly. What time had you brought him? Is it your father's house?
No, it's my boyfriend's father.
What time had you brought him to your boyfriend's father's home?
I would say around 2 o'clock.
2 in the afternoon?
Correct.
And what stores did you go to?
Walmart.
How long were you in Walmart?
Not that long.
How long?
Oh, I don't know, like hour.
And where did you go after Walmart?
I went to some other stores.
What kind of stores?
Well, Marshall.
So you went clothes shopping?
Yes. And food shopping too at Walmart.
Well, first you went to Walmart. What kind of food did you get at Walmart?
Well, milk, bread, all kinds.
Yeah, Miss Jacek, I'm not buying it. So let's be very careful. Don't make the story up as you're going on. You don't go buy milk at Walmart and then go to Marshall's. You don't go buy milk at Walmart and then go to Marshall's. That doesn't make sense.
That was winter. It's cold. I bought grocery shopping, and I always go and leave him at the grandfather's house when I go
shopping. No, listen to me. Don't confuse one thing with another. You left him there, according to you, at 2 o'clock. This accident happened at 5:30. You went to Walmart, you said, for about an hour. That would bring us up to 3 o'clock. And then you went to go dress shopping. That's 2.5 hours that you were leaving groceries, including milk, in the car. I just don't understand that kind of route. In any event, you get a call from the baby's grandfather that says the baby has a fever. How high a fever did he have?
Over 100, was 103.
And he called you, and is this your only child?
Yes, correct.
I assume you were upset. So you got back to the grandfather's house, and where were you going to take your son?
Home.
Home, not to the doctor?
No, we gave him ibuprofen, if something for fever, so I was taking him home.
Just a second. Did you give him ibuprofen at his grandfather's house, or did you give it to him when you got home?
No, at the grandfather's house.
So the grandfather has children's ibuprofen?
Yes.
Great. So you gave it to him. There was your son crying when you got home?
Was he crying when you...
Now, listen to me. Don't make it up. You'll never know, Miss Jacek, where I'm going with my questioning. Don't try to anticipate where I'm going with my questioning. Just tell me the truth, and we'll all be fine. Was your son crying when you got to his grandfather's house?
Yes.
And it was wintertime?
Correct.
So you had to dress him up?
Correct.
Because it was cold enough to keep the milk from Walmart for 2.5 hours while you went dress shopping. So you had to dress him up. What kind of clothes did you put him in?
Winter clothes.
And did he continue to cry?
No.
Wasn't crying anymore?
Mm-mm.
Wasn't fussing anymore? How long was it between the time you got to the baby's grandfather until the time you got in the car? 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour, an hour. What time did you leave the grandfather's home?
I don't know exactly. I didn't look at the time, but I would say it was probably before 5 o'clock.
What time had you gotten there?
I don't know exactly. Didn't look at the time.
I didn't ask you exactly. What did you do when you got to Grandpa's house?
Nothing.
Not say nothing. Tell me what you did. You got to the house. Baby is crying. He's got a fever, right? Tell me what you physically do. I walked into the house. Did you take your coat off?
No, I didn't.
You left your coat on. You went to the baby. What did you do next?
I grabbed the baby. I kissed him like always. And I start dressing him up.
And then what did you do?
I put him in a car and start driving home.
When did you give him the ibuprofen?
The grandfather gave it to him earlier. The
grandfather gave it to him. So the grandfather gave it to him and he still had the fever.
Well, he just gave him a couple minutes before I arrived over there. As soon as he called me, he's red and got a fever. He gave him ibuprofen. I arrived there and...
So you left immediately?
Correct.
Great. And so I assume that you were anxious to get him home.
Correct.
Put him in the car seat, which is in the back of the car.
Correct.
And then you're driving home. On what route are you driving?
What road I was driving?
Yes.
Greshod.
And what's the speed limit on that road?
35.
Is that correct?
No, Your Honor, we're on 12 mile. We're on 12 mile road, actually.
Well,
I want to know where the accident took place.
12 mile, Your Honor.
And what is the speed limit on that road?
35.
Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
So you were going the speed limit. And you were behind her?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now I want you to tell me your version of what happened.
Okay, I heard something hit the back of my car. I look on my left and I see this car speed up, pass me by and start driving in front of me. I was driving after him and then he pulled on one of the side streets and...
I'm not following. You hear something hit your car?
Well, he hit me and he...
No. Let's go slow, Miss Jasek. This is your complaint. You're driving with your son. You're doing the speed limit. What is the next thing that you see or hear?
I heard something hit the back of my car.
So you heard something hit your car?
Correct.
And?
I look at my left and I see this car speed up really fast, got right in front of me. So I start driving after him. Then he pull on a side street. I start driving after him. I was thinking maybe he's trying to run away.
Don't tell me what you were thinking. He pulled into a side street. Did he stop his car?
Finally, after a while, he did.
How much after a while?
Couple minutes. He was speeding up and I drive after him.
Keep going.
So he came out of the car.
He stopped his car.
Finally, he did. Correct.
Yeah, he stopped his car. Go ahead.
He came out of the car and he started begging me to not call police. He's only 19, working for $7 an hour at the Jet Pizza. I says, okay. I says, do you have any documents on you? He says, let me go to the car and check and bring it to you. He came back and he says he forgot his wallet. He left it in his house. But he says, I don't have insurance. So he said he's going to...
He said he did or did not?
No, he did not.
Did not have insurance.
So he said he's going to call his mother. He called his mother and he tell her to give all the information and a driving license number.
Did she do that?
Yes, correct.
So she gave you his license, the registration, and the car didn't have any liability insurance. Is that what you're telling me?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so she gave you his driver's license number.
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
But I didn't pay attention at that time when he was writing this to me till I got to the police station and I showed to the officer and that this is not even a driving license number. So his mother lied to him and me. So after that, we exchanged phone numbers. I asked him if I can take a picture of him, which I have right here. And that's it. The next day in the morning, I went and got a couple estimates. I called him, I says, the cheapest I got.
How did you get his phone number?
We exchanged.
So he gave you his right phone number?
Yes, that's correct.
He gave you his right phone number?
Yes.
He didn't give you a phony number?
No.
And he gave you his right name?
Yes.
Gave you his name,
mm-hmm.
And gave you his phone number?
Correct.
Go ahead.
So I got the estimates, I called as soon as I got him. I called him and I said that the cheapest I got estimate is 700 some.
Okay, I'm working on the accident. Let's not talk about the damages yet. I have to figure out who's at fault. Now you tell me your story, Mr. Schuster.
Okay, I was coming from my girlfriend's house. We were there for a little while, maybe a couple hours. We got in the car, and we were driving and turned on 12 mile. The speed limit is 35 there. She was going a little bit slow, driving a little not so straight. I don't know what she was doing. She kept looking in the back, so I didn't know what was going on.
looking in the back?
Back seat of her vehicle.
Because that's where the baby was.
That's probably it. So I was going to pass her because I didn't want to be behind her anymore. So I went to pass her, and as I was passing her, she slammed on her brakes, and I hit her car. So it was a tap, kind of. But then I stopped, and she got out. She started saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It's my fault." She looked in the back. She said that her baby was back there and sick. I could hear him crying. She was there, too. And then she got out, and I gave her my information, well, all I had on me.
Which was what?
I had my driver's license. I gave her that. My name, my telephone number, my address, and everything. She said she didn't want to call the cops, so she didn't.
You the girlfriend? You were in the car?
Yes.
Tell me your name.
Brianne Lear.
Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today...
She decided she didn't want the apartment because...
I was told I was going to have surgery. I've been under doctor's care for 8 years.
We knew about the surgery.
Just a second. It is so inconsistent with what she said in her complaint. I'm not sure what zone she's in.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Agnieszka Jacek says fellow motorist Christopher Schuster rear-ended her vehicle on the road. Christopher claims it was the plaintiff's erratic driving that caused the accident.
Did you see Miss Jacek as she was driving? It was in the evening?
Yes.
Was it dark out?
It was not dark. It was getting darker.
Tell me what, if anything, you saw Miss Jacek doing.
Well, when we were driving, like Chris said, she was driving not in a straight line. She did keep on looking back. We didn't know if she was on drugs or drunk, and I was like, you know, just pass her. So as we went to pass her, she slammed on her brakes. Chris did get out of the car, gave her the information. She said, okay. This is
Mr.
my
Schuster.
Fault.
Mr. Schuster.
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Schuster, did you pull off onto the side street?
No, Your Honor. I stopped right there on the side, right there. Just got out and talked to her.
Okay, go ahead.
When we did get out of the car, she did say, "This is my fault. I'm sorry. My baby is sick. I was seeing if he was okay and everything like that." They both decided, you know, the cops didn't need to be called. There was no damage to his car. There was a little crack on her bumper. She even said it was her fault. She did slam on her brakes.
Sit down. Anything else? You weren't there, right?
No, I was at the police station later.
Your Honor.
What?
They didn't go to the police station until 3 days later.
Just a sec. I don't care. I don't believe her.
All right.
I actually believe you.
Come on.
I actually believe you. I actually believe what she did was she kept checking on her baby and turned around, and at some point when she was checking on her baby, her foot went from gas to brake. That's what happened. And I actually believe she got out and she said to you, "I'm sorry." I believe you. Your case is dismissed. Goodbye.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I desire excuse me to step out.
I'm not guilty. He's lying.
What she was trying to do, I felt that she was just trying to get money out of me the whole time.
Too bad I couldn't prove it.
I think she was just trying to scam me. That's all it was.
I learned my lesson to call police and not feel sorry for nobody. It's not worth it.
Pretty much, just watch yourself. If anyone's driving crazy, just get away from them.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Conway versus Varner. Step forward.
Deborah Conway is suing her former friend, Robin Varner, for the return of a security deposit for an apartment. Robin says Deborah backed out at the last minute and never moved in.
Miss Conway, you decided to rent an apartment that the defendant had advertised. You went to look at the apartment, and I believe you went to look at it the 9th or 10th of February of 2014?
Yes, Judge.
What date?
The 10th, February 10th.
No, incorrect. It was the 9th. She came to dinner at my house.
Went to look at it the 9th of February, 2014. You liked the apartment very much, and at that time...
Not at that time. I didn't like it. It was all damaged from the prior...
You decided to rent it.
Correct.
Well, if you didn't like it, you wouldn't have decided to rent it.
Correct.
Did you tell her you wanted the apartment on the 9th?
No.
When did you tell her you wanted the apartment?
Told her about when I wrote the check out on February 10th.
Okay.
When I wrote the check out.
So on 2/10, you decided you wanted the apartment.
Move in about March 1st.
That's incorrect also.
I don't want to hear noise!
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
If I could clarify in the medical man?
No.
Can I add something about the status of the apartment?
No, you can't.
It's not even a legal apartment.
I'm going to dismiss her case because of you. How's that?
No, thank you.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Deborah Conway says former friend Robin Varner owes for the return of a security deposit for an apartment.
You wrote her out a check on February 10th, 2014, in the amount of $850.
Correct.
And you found this apartment through a mutual friend or someone or from an ad?
Through a man. I was having an affair on my husband.
Listen to me.
Yes.
I'm going to actually put you out and tell you to go and try your case someplace else. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes, I do.
All I want to know is how you found the apartment. Through a private person, through a friend, or from an ad. That's all I want to know.
Through a friend.
And on what date, Miss Varner, did Miss Conway tell you she didn't want the apartment?
On the 18th of February. She left me a voicemail.
And she decided she didn't want the apartment because?
My father had passed away, and I was having some problems, and I couldn't do it. At that time, March 10th, I had gotten a doctor's note, and I was told I was going to have surgery. I've been under doctor's care for 8 years.
We knew about the surgery.
Just a second. It is so inconsistent with what she said in her complaint. That's why I didn't even ask her, because I'm not sure what zone she's in. But she did notify you within 8 days, and you didn't have a written lease. This was an oral arrangement that you had, that the rent was $850 and she would live there for 12 months. But, you know, if something is for 12 months, it has to be in writing. You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. So you gave her a receipt for this $850?
Yes.
I'd like to see a copy of the receipt. Do you have your copy of the receipt?
That's the first time I've seen a book.
Well,
a receipt,
let's see what she's giving me. Little out of order here. You go from, for some reason, October of 2013 to December 2013. Something written over there that I don't understand. So you didn't give her a receipt.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean this is out of order.
No, it's not.
Yeah, sure it is. Give this back to her. Okay. So, is the place rented now?
No.
Why not?
Well, I got rid of all the furniture and I have it out on Craigslist, but I haven't had anyone bite it yet.
When did you put it on Craigslist prior to the 9th of February?
I didn't.
Oh, so you didn't lose any business. When she canceled for the week, I'm trying to figure you. You have no written agreement.
I had two other people that were looking at the place and her. I turned the other two down because we were friendly with Debbie and her boyfriend.
All right, you have a counterclaim. Your counterclaim is nonsense for $5,000, money owed for a year's lost rent, and the furniture you gave away.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, you say you gave away furniture because?
Deborah didn't want the furniture. She wanted to bring the stuff from her house because she was leaving her husband, and she was going to bring furniture from her house. So she asked me to get rid of the two couches.
She said she didn't want a furnished place.
Right.
So you could have stored the furniture.
I could have, but
you didn't.
I had neighbors that were needy, so I felt I would give them
whatever. That's not her fault.
If I could clarify on the medical, ma'am?
No, not necessary.
Okay. Can I add something about the status of the apartment?
No, you can't.
Okay.
He's never been in my house, so I don't know how he would know.
I didn't ask you anything. If you want to have a non-refundable deposit, then you make up a receipt that says it's a non-refundable deposit. I'm holding the apartment for you. She signs it. You sign it.
It's not even a legal apartment.
I'm going to dismiss her case because of you. How's that?
No, thank you.
Then leave.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you have to demonstrate to my satisfaction that without that kind of a non-refundable deposit that both of you agree on and sign, that you were out something as a result of this 8-day delay in telling you that she didn't want the apartment. You were on vacation for a period of time during that time in Atlantic City.
Yes.
And so you weren't showing the apartment. And you didn't, in fact, advertise the apartment prior to her seeing it. So I don't see that you lost anything. And since you don't have the deposit, she's going to get her security back of $850. In addition, you have a counterclaim, which is absolutely ridiculous. You want $5,000 for the cost of getting rid of your furniture, which you could have just as easily have stored, and her rent for a year, which is actually absolutely ridiculous. So your counterclaim's dismissed. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $850. That's all.
Thank you.
What is our excuse? You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
You said to him it was over.
Yes.
You can't say we're done and barricade yourself in the house. You see how you're smiling? Can't control yourself. I take domestic violence really seriously.
Judge Judy.
They're not the most intelligent bunch, and her husband has never been there. He's never seen it.
We're friends, but I didn't like the way they live.
So how could he know if it's legal or not?
A lot of alcohol and, you know, fighting. And
she wanted to get away from the man that she came here with.
That kind of gave me a veer to the left.
So it's kind of very strange.